Your daughter actually had cancer a number of years back.
That is correct. My daughter Katrina was diagnosed with leukemia when she was just a little bit over 2 years old. She did 2.5 years of chemotherapy. We had lived in California at the time, so all of our treatment was done there. So by the time she started kindergarten, she was done with all of her treatment.
And she's 15 now, but she went through all that a number of years back. And is it still hard talking about that, or is it easy to talk about now?
We've always been really open about our journey. We want to help as many other families as possible. I think it's important that you're open and honest with even the things that scare you, because you don't know what someone else is going through. You may help them overcome, you know, feeling or being scared about what's going to happen just by talking about it. So we're very honest and open.
When some families have a child who is suffering from some form of cancer, they just close up. I mean, they're unable to talk about it altogether. That probably hurts more than it does anything.
I think it depends on the individual person. Personally, I believe that if you talk the things out, it helps, especially if there's other siblings, so that they don't feel so alone and isolated.
Now, this fundraiser, what types of things is this going to go to pay for?
Everything, really. The camp has lost all their funding, and they created their own nonprofit and are trying to send as many kids to camp next summer as possible. They have 1 week for the kids that have had some kind of cancer, and then the following week goes to their siblings. So the money raised will go for renting the camp, for the meals, all the activities, arts and crafts. They do things with shaving cream that I had never heard of. They have like shaving cream wars. So they need lots of money to, you know, buy shaving cream.
And just to give a little bit of background on Camp Horizon, it was founded in 1983 by the American Cancer Society, and it serves the needs of those who have cancer, children between the ages of 6 and 17 years old who've been diagnosed with cancer or who have received cancer treatment in the past 5 years, and also their siblings. So this is helping these children cope with what's going on, along with the brother and sister cope with what's going on.
I think it's really important to include siblings. Often they get forgotten, and not intentionally. There's just so many other things going on and emergencies that arise. Sometimes the siblings are forgotten, and this really gives them the opportunity to discuss their feelings with other siblings that know exactly what it feels like.
For listeners out there, what was it like whenever they diagnosed your daughter with leukemia? First of all, how did you know to go to the doctor? I mean, what was wrong that gave you a warning signal?
She had actually had some symptoms for about a month before she was diagnosed. The final thing, she had a lump on the back of her neck that was hot. I thought she maybe had meningitis. So we went to the doctor, and it was a bacterial infection. So they gave her antibiotics. They actually sent us to the hospital to get antibiotics because she was also dehydrated. And it was there that they did a blood draw. And later that evening, they came in to tell us. And my initial response was, well, they said, you know, Katrina has one of three things. And I said, all right. So they said the first one is leukemia. And I said, well, she doesn't have that. What are the other two? And now, honestly, I don't remember, but I remember the doctor saying, you better pray that it's leukemia. So the other two options were definitely worse. The next morning, her diagnosis was confirmed, and we started our journey.
It's as simple as a blood test, though, to get diagnosed, it sounds like.
Yes, for the most part, and especially with leukemia. There's other kind of cancers, you know, that will show up differently.
When that journey first began, what kinds of things were you and your husband talking about? I mean, what were you going through?
Well, there's a financial burden with most families. You know, you go through your life, usually have your budget planned out, and you know what you're going to spend money on, and all of a sudden you get thrown a loop. Yes, we had great medical coverage, but it only goes so far. I mean, you have a deductible. We had to drive an hour each way to the hospital. Where we lived had bridges, so we also had bridge toll. Your medication copays. There's a lot of expenses that come up, so we talked a lot about that. It was a bit daunting at first, but we made it through it. I was also pregnant when she was diagnosed, so we joked about having the baby in the car somewhere between the house and the hospital.
Now, if you're pregnant, I heard that you can't be around certain types of radiation or people who are undergoing radiation therapy. Was that true for you at the time?
We were very fortunate with Katrina. She never had to get radiation. She just did chemotherapy.
So that process alone, I mean, that's tell us about that. You had to go to the hospital, sit with your two-year-old daughter while going through these
therapies? Wasn't exactly sitting with her. It was more holding her down at some of the points. She's very strong-willed, and if she didn't want something to happen, it didn't always happen. We were hospitalized for about a month in the beginning, and then we went home, and we went through different cycles. The first cycle was every day, so we drove back and forth to the hospital every day to get chemotherapy. She had a port installed, or however you call it, on a body, and so they would access her port to make the blood draws easier and giving her the chemotherapy. Plus, it went into the largest pool of blood for dispersion.
After that port was installed, was it painful at all for her whenever she did go to the hospital?
We had cream that we put on the top of it, that like a topical numbing cream, so it didn't really hurt when they accessed her port. She still has kind of junky veins, so when they do a blood draw, they have to get out of her hand, so that is painful for her now, but at the time for the chemotherapy, it all went through her port.
And I guess at age two, she has no idea what's going on at age two. I mean, just it's foreign to her.
It's one of the things about kids, they're just so resilient. They take it on a day-by-day basis in some ways. They're like, okay, yesterday I was playing outside, and today I've got to deal with this, and I don't like it, and then tomorrow I got to do it again. And she just got to the point where she was like, okay, I have to do this bad part, and then I have the rest of the day to play. She would get a spinal tap and then go to gymnastics in the afternoon.
Wow.
She's very tough.
You know, for an adult, if an adult is going through something like this, that's a really daunting time period, and after they get over it, if they do get over it, I would say the adult would fear anything that happens to them. If they had a headache, they would instantly say, oh man, I've got cancer again. Is that the case for a child as well?
I don't think the kids that young really think about it. As teenagers, they probably do more. As parents, we worried about everything. But she just kind of was like, okay, what's for lunch?
What would you tell a parent who just learned that their child has been diagnosed with leukemia? What would you say that you need to do or you should do?
Reach out to the community. There are a lot of groups out there that help kids and their families. Usually there'll be a social worker at the hospital like Vanderbilt that will get you in touch with those people. I think it's really important not to feel like you're alone. Don't isolate yourself. There are times you can't have people around because counts are low and they don't have good immunity, but I think it's really important to reach out to the network of people that you have to help, because it's really a difficult thing to do alone.
Again, our guest today is Rachel Albertson, and we're talking a little bit about the upcoming fundraiser at Camp Horizon. It's part of Camp Horizon. It's not actually at Camp Horizon, but it is going to be in Wilson County, and the fundraiser is going to be an airsoft tournament. Now, are you looking forward to this? Do you play airsoft at all?
I have only gone to the shooting range. My 12-year-old son, Garrett.
The real shooting range?
Well, no, the airsoft shooting range.
Okay.
My son, Garrett, loves airsoft, and we went there for his birthday party. And I went home and I emailed the owner about using the property. He very generously offered it to us, talked to us about how to best do a fundraiser so that we get 100% of the proceeds.
Now, this is at the Bad Karma Airsoft Field in Wilson County.
Just past Walter Hill.
Okay, so it's not really all the way into Lebanon or anything like that?
No, it's not even as far as the Speedway.
Okay, so if somebody wants to register a team, they can do that for this event, right?
It's singles. You just show up the day of. It's 10 for adults and 5 for kids.
Even easier.
Yes, so, absolutely.
A dad listening, he could bring his son out there, his daughter, and y'all could just have a heyday out there.
It's going to be really fun. We're going to have vendors. We have a silent auction. We have some food and some drinks that are going to be for sale. It's a day-long process, so there's a bunch of smaller games that they play, and I don't know all of them, but the kids I know in our neighborhood that play are really looking forward to going out there. They have a great time. They run around, and I like that they're not at home on Xbox.
That's a good thing. Now, going back to Camp Horizon, this camp, like I said, was founded in 1983, and they serve about 100 campers per year, every single year, and the neatest thing about this, no cost to the family, so this is not an extra burden for the families of those who are undergoing treatment or who have undergone treatment.
I think that's a really important aspect of it, there's never a cost for the campers to go. There's no reason that they can't enjoy themselves. And sometimes parents will carpool to help even cut down on the cost of fuel.
That's so they carpool for the treatments?
Carpool to camp.
Oh, carpool to camp.
It's week long, so you drop them off on Sunday and pick them up on Friday.
Now, your daughter is, I guess, well, she hasn't gone to this camp, has she? Because
she has.
She has gone.
She has. She kind of got grandfathered in, and they've allowed her to go as long as there's space.
So what does she say about it whenever she's when she comes back home after the week?
She loves camp a lot. One of the biggest things she said is that you never feel alone.
Now, let's point out, your daughter has fully healed from leukemia, right?
I mean, she is considered cured.
That's amazing. So she is actively involved in school.
She is. She's on the Siegel High Marching Band. She plays the mellophone.
So nothing stops her at this point?
No, she's in a boot right now. She has some problems with her tendons from her treatment. And this year has been hard on her leg and her foot more than others. And so she is marching in a boot.
So I guess there are some things that will come back to harm you or to slow you down later on in life from when you receive treatment years back, huh?
If you consider that chemotherapy is toxic, you know, there are aspects that happen. There are late effects. She had some problems with motor skills, but she's done a lot of occupational and physical therapy. So this is a real late effect that's happening. But with treatment, once marching season is over, she should go back to normal.
When your child is diagnosed with something like leukemia, is it, and I'm guessing it is it a lot harder on the parents than it is the child just knowing what's going on and the parent knowing what's going to happen next or think they know what's going to happen next?
I think that depends on the age of the child. With as young as Katrina was, it was definitely a emotional burden for us. I think with a teenager, though, they have their own fears that would play into it as well.
Was there ever a point where you thought your daughter was not going to make it, or did you have the hope the entire time that she was going to make it?
We always believed that she would make it. There was no other option. And fortunately, it worked out that way. I know, I don't know one parent that says, you know, I don't think they're going to make it. Everybody wants the same outcome, and we were very, very fortunate.
During treatment, did you make friends with other parents who were going through the same thing?
We did. We had a support group at the hospital, as well as there was a parent group in the city we lived in. And we became a team of parents, especially if your kids were diagnosed near the same time. You were often going through the same cycles, and you could talk about, well, the side effects happening, is it happening with your child? Just to kind of compare notes and see what you can do to get them to eat or, you know, sit down to get treatment.
Was that an outlet for you? I mean, was it able, did that help calm you a little bit?
I would say that it did. It gave me someone else that was going through the same thing, so I didn't feel alone.
Now, your daughter has an older sibling. How did they handle all of this, and did they understand what was going on at the time?
Her sister was 5, and her name is Marissa. She also goes to Siegel. She's a senior this year, and it was confusing for her when she would get a regular cold. She would say, oh my gosh, am I going to get sick like Katrina? She really didn't understand that it wasn't catchy like a regular cold and that it's not hereditary, so we didn't think she was going to get it. It was hard for her being juggled around and not, I was a stay-at-home mom. You know, she started kindergarten. Things were very, I hate to say normal, but they were kind of normal, and we just, every day, and then it was a big upheaval.
Again, our guest today, Rachel Albertson, and we've been talking about a special fundraiser coming up this weekend at the Bad Karma Airsoft Field, which is located on Gwen Road in Lebanon, Tennessee. Now, like we said, even though it's in Lebanon, it's not all the way into Lebanon, so it's just that's the address of it. But this is off of, is it off of 231? What is it off of?
It's 231. You take 231 north towards Lebanon. You make a left on Fall Creek Road and a right on Gwen Road. And it's just past, there's like a, I don't know if it's a junkyard or a parts place. And it's just past there on the right.
And Camp Horizon, again, is a pediatric oncology camp for children between the ages of 6 to 17. And the children who go to the camp, they don't pay anything for it. Their parents don't pay anything for it. It's totally, I won't say free, but it's free to the children who attend.
Correct.
But the fundraisers like this go to help pay for this camp. Now, going back to your story, when your daughter was diagnosed with leukemia at age 2, I can imagine that would be very hard on a marriage as well, the rest of the family, grandparents, everybody.
It's funny that you say that. When she was diagnosed the first night that we were at the hospital, they said a lot of marriages have trouble with a seriously critically ill child, and to let them know if there was ever a time that you felt like you needed some help or assistance. And our office had a therapist on staff. I think that it's important. We talked to her together and alone, and we had our daughter go there. We really made sure that we took advantage of the resources that were available to us, because we wanted to make sure that we did the best we could with what we had.
In tragic events, there's always an upside in some way. And was the upside for you guys? Did it help bring the family closer together?
I definitely think it strengthened our family. I think that we learned a lot about who we are and what we can do and how we persevere.
Again, our guest today, Rachel Albertson, and we're just about out of time already. If somebody needs information on the Camp Horizon, or if they want to participate this weekend, what do they need to do?
They can just show up there. It's from 8 to 4 on Saturday. If you'd like to call me, my number is 615-663-4620.
And we've also got this on our website, and we'll have the audio of this on our website as well. So people can go to our website and just type in, Camp Horizon, and the story will come up.
CampHorizonTN.org, and then you'll be able to see a link to the event. We have a lot of really cool stuff that's been donated. We have two 3-hour blocks in a limousine.
Oh, fun.
A lot of houseware things, some airsoft supplies, home items. It's going to be a really fun event.
That sounds great. All of that going on this weekend. Right now, the time, 10:52. Rachel, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.